It has arrived. The best weekend of the year. The best evening of the weekend for the podcast known as
Trapped Under Plastic! Woo!
All right.
All right, show of hands, who is here for the first time at Adepticon?
Goddamn.
This is crazy, dude. Every year, it's like half of the room. Okay, awesome. Okay, raise your hands. Who is participating in a gaming tournament of some kind?
Okay.
Okay, we got some gamers. Okay. Raise your hands. Who is taking a painting seminar? All right, there we go. Okay, very nice. Okay, John, we haven't been hanging out a lot.
Did you just take one of those whole things?
Mm-mm. Okay, all right. This is going to go through us pretty fast.
we've been at Adepticon now almost two full days.
Yeah.
And I've seen you only at sleepy time.
Yes. So,
why?
I mean, we've been doing our own thing. And so right now we're going to take some time and we're going to catch up in front of 100 people. Is that okay with you guys?
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about what we did at the con and kind of how we liked it. So first thing, I did a Shatterpoint demo. Who played Shatterpoint? Anyone? Thoughts on it? Yes? No?
Yes.
Yes? Okay. I really like Shatterpoint a lot. I think it solved a couple of little problems that miniature war games often have.
Mm-hmm.
There's this thing called an ingress point in the game where there are ladders and elevators you have to go up. And I think a lot of mini war games have this problem where you have enough movement to get halfway up the ladder, but you can't put a model there. So you kind of I have to remember that. The way in Shatterpoint it works, whereas if you get within 1 inch of an ingress point, you just get to go up the ladder for free. So it's nice, easy, simple, and it solves that really nicely. It also has movement like Rivenstone, and I think also, maybe you guys, this is also Star Wars Legion. I haven't played it yet. But you put a template down, and then your model can move, and as long as it's touching the template in any area, it's a legal move. Is that in any other game? I know it's in Rivenstone. Shout out a game if you guys know.
MCP?
Okay. So that's another mechanic, so it kind of shares that with MCP. But I love it. A lot of fun abilities. Every character feels super unique. The movement is very slick. I had a fun time. I recommend trying it out if you guys have time.
What's the model quality like?
I don't know. For some reason, they're 40 mil true scale models. So they can't leverage any of the minis in Star Wars Legion, which kind of feels a little bit of a waste of that production, but they're great. They're cool models for sure. The Darth Maul with robot legs is fucking choice.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay. So you've been playing games far in 2 days.
That's the first one. Yeah.
What dead game did you just get done playing prior to this?
Guild Ball, baby! Gotta get up. Okay, let's go. Dead game.
Not dead yet.
Oh man.
All right. What have you been doing?
I want to take this moment to realize how many people are in this fucking room right now.
Yeah, this is crazy.
This is the biggest Tup Live by a sizable amount, so y'all need to question your life choices. this is wild.
I'm doing so right now.
I said this a couple times, but my 5-year plan is that at some point, this show, Tup Live, is scheduled directly after the Warhammer reveal in the same room. And then more people come in for Tup Live than we're at the Warhammer reveal.
Well, you were in the Warhammer reveal. That was one thing you did. Was that room packed?
Yeah, they said it was the most people attending a Warhammer reveal ever.
Yeah, they didn't let me in. I don't know why.
Yeah, I wonder why. Scott has his phone out as he walks in. Oh, no. Oh, yeah. So I kind of snuck in and I peeked my head in and I look and it was just about to start. And Vincey V is in the front seat.
Yeah.
And he's got an empty seat next to me.
Prime real estate. No one took it.
He fucking locks eyes with me and he just taps the seat. I was called in. I know anything about these fucking games they're going to show. And so we looked at models and I heard a lot of under Vince's breath.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of, sure.
Yeah.
He knew all of this shit.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of sure, did anyone get some cool bootleg stickers from my main guy over here? Dude, do you have any left? Do you know? Okay, if you want some sick stickers, and maybe afterwards.
After the show.
Yeah, they're really fucking cool.
Yeah, so I was there for the whole Warhammer reveal, and I will say this. They really have upped their game in the quality of those sweet fucking movies before they show the reveal.
Yeah, yeah.
And the music is so fucking hyped, right? And so I'm just so pumped. And then they're like, boo! Space Marine. I'm like,
I heard the videos were actually super sweet.
Oh yeah. I was so excited. And then they're like, look, it's the Terminators right next to the old Terminators. And I didn't realize they were different models. And I was like, oh yeah.
Wait, were they Primarisified Terminators?
Yep.
Okay, so they're big boys.
They're not that much bigger.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, they're bigger.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
But then they said some lore bullshit, but like, actually, the old men could still be in here, or Primaris men.
Ooh.
It was to make all the lore people happy in that moment.
Okay.
So I was like, okay, I believe right.
You know, okay.
But 10th edition.
Okay.
10th edition.
Who's
40K.
Hyped for 10th edition?
Yeah.
Okay.
Vince was actually really hyped for 10th edition.
Yeah.
He's saying he would play based on what he knows the changes are going to be.
Okay.
Which kind of excites me
because
I painted an entire army and haven't played the game since.
Well, it makes sense because in reviewing Age of Sigmar, one thing I learned from my comment section was how much of a shit game 9th edition 40K is.
Yeah.
At least according to all those people. They were like, man, you think this is bad? Play 40K. It's even worse. So maybe it needs a little bit of a rewrite.
Oh, but they're getting it.
Okay.
They're cool. Getting it. So yeah, so I did that. Today... first thing, I got up, you know, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed.
Yeah, you were the first one up. We all were up until 2 in the morning, and then John was like, 8 a.m.? Sounds good. Let's do it.
Yeah, I was up. I took
not
a shower.
Okay.
I needed to get my piece in the case so then I can just wipe my hands clean of it.
Okay.
Because my Golden Demon piece, the night before we left, I ripped the main vampire off because she was at slightly an angle that worried me that I was the whole piece was ruined because she was tilted back 2 millimeters too far. So I ripped her off, redid that. And in that process, I snapped off a tree branch and bats. And so like 15 minutes before you guys showed up at my house, I was gluing stuff on. So
oh my gosh.
We got it in. It's out of my hands. It's in the case. And so every night I'm going to stalk that case.
Yeah. And like just, a pariah, absolutely. Yeah. Just like crapping on everybody else other than yourself, you know?
Yes.
Okay, I totally get that.
No,
show of hands, who saw John's piece? Okay, and shout if it's any good.
Yeah. Woo!
All right.
I hope you're all the judges. I'm just happy to be here, happy to be nominated. That piece, somebody already asked me, like, oh, what are your plans for next year? What are your plans for Nova? Because I'm going to Nova for the first time, and I'm like, I can't think about that. So, anybody here going to Nova?
Yeah!
All right.
Awesome.
I'll see you there with Fireball.
All right, cool. One thing we did last night was I got to meet Trent from Miscast Terrain for the first time ever, and that was super fun. You guys know Trent?
Yeah.
Nice, awesome. He's an awesome dude. I think it was like an insane flight to get here, so I'm super happy that he's here. We were hanging out in a hotel room, and you taught our little Australian baby how to dip for the first time ever, didn't you?
I don't know what you're talking about. this is America, okay? There's a few things that you're allowed to do in this sweet, sweet country of ours, and that is things you can't do in Australia. Apparently is illegal. So I've learned there are certain things that are illegal in Australia, and I'm trying to have Trent do them all in one weekend.
Do them all.
In one weekend. So, yeah, we hung out with him, hung out with Mini Wargamer Dave. That dude is a fucking ball of energy.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, he is. He has such an expressive face, and I feel I could just like stare at his face and not even listen to what he's saying. He just like emotes so strongly that it's like so captivating. But yeah, he is a ball of energy, and it was so much fun to meet him, for sure.
He looks like an anime character in real life.
Oh,
it's pretty sweet.
Absolutely.
So yeah, we had a lot of fun last night,
yeah.
But we didn't go whole hog.
No. Not yet.
That's
you miraculously are pacing yourself pretty well.
Listen,
I mean, you got the glasses on, but
listen, I have drinking so much water, and I think that's the key.
Mm-hmm.
I just keep drinking water, and I take vitamins. Uh-huh. Do you remember last night at like 1:30 in the morning where you had a fucking freak out attack that you were sick?
Dude, okay. I am, of the last three cons, I am 3 for 3 getting COVID. I'm not even like doing anything like crazy. So like, I am extra careful this time, not sharing anything. I'm like washing my hands constantly. And apparently you brought like a whole roll of like tons of vitamins. And so we're eating those too. It just sucks to get sick.
Scott was so scared, and I just gave him vitamins to calm him down.
It worked.
It was just Flintstones vitamins. So it was.
It's It's just sugar pills. Yeah.
But no, it made you feel so much better.
It did.
And then you went sleepy sleep and everything was okay.
It was nice. Yeah. Yes.
No, you got to keep that immune system strong.
Yeah.
CD zinc, my friend.
Okay.
All right. So, you know, I think later tonight it's going to get worse in the best way.
Wait, what does that mean?
Because our good friend is unchained tonight.
What are you talking about?
One Sam Lenz.
Is unchained.
And that means.
What does that mean?
That means things are going to get a little hairy.
I feel like Sam doesn't know what you're talking about right now.
Well, he will. Can we talk real quick about Malort?
Okay, yes. Malort. Mark Maxey over here comes and grabs me from a very pleasant conversation. You know who you are. And he's like, come drink this terrible drink with me. And it's just like, he just wants to watch me suffer. And so I went over there. A bunch of lovely English people were there. And we all drank. And I'm not a big drinker, but apparently they all are. And they were like, this is fine. And I'm just like dying like after drinking it. They gave me the biggest shot. And I was just like, I couldn't handle it. But I got it all down. I didn't vomit instantaneously. It is just it was fucking awful. It was the worst thing ever.
What does it taste like?
I mean, I thought it tasted like the smell of Sharpies.
Oh.
poison, basically. But you just had it, like, right now. They're, like, literal shot glasses on the table. Did you take two?
No, that one's Ben's.
Okay, nice. Oh, Ben had to do two?
I mean, he had it last night, too. He came over here giddy for more.
Okay. Fucking weirdo. Wait, Ben Comets?
Yes.
Ben, where are you? Okay.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I think it tastes like really, really bad grandma's cough syrup and cancer. That's what I think. It's not fun.
Yeah.
It's not fun. So today was a really long day. It felt really long to me.
Yeah.
Because
I was apart from you.
Yeah, I know. That was it. You were playing games.
Yeah.
Vince and I spent a lot of time together today.
You did.
Yeah. It's like Vince is replacing you, but like
is Vince here? No, he's doing a class. Yeah.
Yeah, he's teaching right now. And we had one of his students in here that he came to sit before the show to then just leave.
I just wanted to see it. He just wanted to see this jank setup just for a little bit.
And I gave him so much smack talk bullet points for Vince as he went to Vince's class.
Okay, nice.
So
good.
So I want Vince to feel bad about where he stands in our friendship after this.
Okay.
Teaching be damned. All you do, it's a field trip day, yo. Like, it's like, hey, surprise, we're not painting. We're going to the podcast.
Dude, imagine going to a class at Adepticon and you get like a sub and they roll out a fucking TV and there's like,
oh, we're watching Free Willy 2.
We're watching fucking Cujo. Like, let's do this.
Oh, no. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. So, yeah, I mean, okay, who all bought shit at the vendor hall today? Scream how much money you spent.
Too much. Oh. I heard $1 million, dude. Okay. I haven't bought anything yet. I haven't done like my rounds through the vendor hall. I was in there. We like checked out the Shatterpoint thing, and then I went over to play Free Blades. Mm. And we're like, Free Blades? Yeah. All right, yeah.
Cool.
So that was like, they used a bunch of different like sides of dice. So like there was even like D16s were used in that game.
It's not a real dice.
I know, but so Brent was playing. I mean, he had it. Brent was playing against Casey, and then me and Josh were kind of watching. And so that game is pretty interesting, but it kind of like leans on what I felt like was a little bit of an old game design, which is like, you know, you do your charge, you roll to hit. There's some either a save or a roll to wound. You check your leadership. You run away. If you get caught, you die. And so like nothing is wrong with that system at all. I just kind of wanted something a little bit newer. And that's what I felt like I got from Shatterpoint. Because Shatterpoint actually reminded me a little bit of Guild Ball, in that you roll dice, you compare like their defense, and you have some number of net hits, and then you have like a tree on your card, and you get to go down the tree the number of successes you have, and then all the effects are cumulative. So it felt kind of a little bit more unique than just like I got a hit, you failed your save, now you die. So yeah, a little bit of mix up.
I love that this is the second time you've given the entire crowd a TLDR of how to play a game.
Mm. How to play a game? No, just how is it?
Here's the rules, real quick.
Okay, yeah. It's just cool. I'm like so into playing games right now, and like I just want to like soak them all up, and I want to like steal all the good mechanics from all the good games, and then make the Omega game with none of my own unique ideas. Yeah, I think it's going to be great.
Yeah, beg, borrow, and steal.
Yeah, exactly.
I just want to play Warcry is what I want to do.
Do you? Okay. Yeah. All right. We got Zammies.
Anybody play Warcry in here? No.
All right. All, all right.
Us three will play later.
I just think it's fun.
You
played it on your stream recently.
Yeah, it's totally fun. It's totally fun.
Yeah, okay. I'm all about it. And the models are the bee's knees.
I know.
Okay, so you haven't bought anything yet?
Not yet. Well, actually, I went to the Bits place, and I like rifled through some of the old Wood Elf and Vampire Count pewter models, and I bought some of those. So, yes.
I didn't do that. I typically
It's a good time.
I do not go through the Bits area any earlier than 1 a.m.
Okay, yeah.
That's best time.
That's peak Bits time for sure.
Yeah,
because it's open 24 hours.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, here's a pro tip for all the first-timers to Adepticon. When everyone else is sleeping, that's when you get drunk and you buy Bits.
Yeah.
Right? It is the best time. And everyone's like sprawled out on the floor like they're trying to pick up their own Legos.
Yeah.
And it's just fucking free guild over here.
We're all just sitting there cross-legged, just looking through little plastic Bits. And it's like, okay, I'm 12 again. This is awesome.
Yeah, it's just like this shitty panning for gold in South Dakota moment. Where none of it ever matters, but you convince yourself it's real.
Yeah, you're like, I'm totally going to paint this model from 1985. And it just never gets painted.
Yeah. Survey shows that was a lie. You did not. He did not ever paint that.
Yeah. So have you prowled the Golden Demon cases yet? Have you kind of soaked in what's there? Because I haven't done that yet. I'm kind of waiting for more stuff to come in so that I can do my like long 3-hour lap, basically.
I've gone over there no less than 6 times. Yeah.
Okay.
But what ends up happening is it's not so much to just I want to go over and like glance. I don't like soak everything in yet. But what I want to do is I want to see who's over there.
Yeah.
And I end up talking to people or people come up or whatever. And then I ask them like, oh, did you enter something? And usually it's yes. And then I ask them to show me their piece and we talk about it. And
yes.
That's been really, really fun. I've got to see a bunch of awesome painters. I hung out with John Margiota today.
Yes.
And he showed me all his pieces. And if you don't know John Margiota, he won last year gold in vehicle 40K for his nasty ass Nurgle Dreadnought.
Yes.
He has got the destructive texture and decay down to a science.
Yeah, and honestly, after the last Golden Demon, we did like a little wrap up. I think you, me, Vince, and Sam, and we kind of looked at, well, like Vince made like a whole slideshow.
Of course he did.
And it was like he showed what won, and it was really interesting to look at the styles of paint jobs that were placing at Golden Demon. Because like prior, I thought it was literally just stuff that was painted cleanly. But then like Kaha had something in there. John had something in there. So that gave me a lot of hope that like, you know, you can impress the judges in other ways with a high execution and you'll still get gold. So that was pretty cool, actually.
Yeah. And I like in a freak out moment that would not help me in any matter whatsoever, I reviewed the rules the night before we left. Because I was like, oh, okay.
This You're is, like, what if?
This is a great idea
you
for me
You can't have
right
oval
now.
Bases. It's like, oh, God.
Yeah.
Rip everything off, quick.
And one thing that it talked about is it doesn't matter your style. It is the consistency and level of execution of that style.
Yes.
And in theory, I love that.
Yeah, I know. And you know, so I will say like 70% of the pieces were clean, heavy metal style, maybe even 80. But there was still some stuff that wasn't that.
Right.
You know, maybe it is a little bit true.
Yeah. And we don't know.
I mean, it is.
We don't really know too well the judging team this year.
Yeah.
So
we can't pay them off, unfortunately.
Yeah. So if you know who's judging Golden Demon, please find them for me. I'd appreciate that. But yeah, so, you know, it's a whole other thing. It is the, I will tell you, okay, so for those of you that are in this crowd, I assume you all paint miniatures to some degree or another. You are now at Adepticon. You no longer have an excuse to come again and not enter in some miniature painting competition. Not to win, not to say I'm the best, but just to push yourself because I task you with this, that if you put it on yourself that I'm going to paint something and I'm going to put it into a case, maybe I'll spend 5 hours on it, maybe I'll spend 125 hours on it, but if you say I am committing to myself, I'm going to put something in a case, could be the Marvel Crisis Protocol, could be Creature Caster, could be Privateer Press if they're still around next year, it could be Golden Demon, there's a lot of ones. There's a lot of painting competitions. If you say to yourself, I am committing to this, you will be shocked how much your painting improves when you work on that piece, because something about making that commitment to yourself will make you a better painter, and it doesn't mean that it has to be good enough to win. So I task all of you, and I am going to get all your names, and if you don't, next year you get 30 lashings.
Okay, yes. And we're serious. There was a guy last year who I had the same chat with, and I was like, I will come and find you if you didn't enter. And I put a year-long reminder in my phone. So, moonlit underscore Inari, if you're fucking here right now, I will end you if there's nothing in the case, okay? I did not fucking forget. Or rather, my phone did not forget.
Dude, I love that you just say his Instagram name. I know. And it's so awkward.
Yeah, where are you?
Oh, man.
Yeah, and the other thing that we've been doing while at Adepticon is a ton of socializing. We have so many friends that we see once a year, and it's here right now, and I just want to spend 5 days just talking to all of them.
Yeah.
And so it's so much fun, and that means, like, all you guys as well. Yeah. Like, I know it can feel, like, awkward sometimes if, like, you, like, come up from, like, playing a game or something, but, like, it's truly, it's such a great experience. And, like, it's so great to put faces to the people that support us and enable us to do things like this, like, full-time and, like, fill rooms of people. Like, this is absolutely insane. So we love it, and we want it all the time. So please come up and chat with us. It's a really great feeling. So, yeah.
Dude, I love that was, like, a humble brag. You got to support us on Patreon right there. Like, it
yeah,
was
all
so
we need it.
Fucking slid it under. Never saw it coming.
Hey, man, I do the outro every podcast. I'm pretty good. Pretty good at chilling.
Yeah, I mean, I think the most important thing that you said there is that it to talk to our friends, and our friends are all of you.
Yes.
Like, it's not like, oh, our friends like Sam that we've known forever, because
yeah, he's not our friend.
He's not I mean, yeah, sure. But Sam's obviously a friend. Yeah. I don't want to get punched.
Lover.
But y'all are our friends. The weird thing is that you know us, but we don't know your face like you know ours. And so the look on your face is really fucking awkward, because, like, you say, like, the look on your face is like, I know you too. And then I just do this, like, yeah. And then we get to that. And then I do know you. So yeah. It's like, you all are our friends. So we appreciate your support. We appreciate you being here for this.
Yeah.
Join the Patreon.
Slightly less subtle, but just subliminal messaging.
Our sponsor this week is Bombshell Miniatures, an online retailer with a ton of physical miniatures and STLs for you hardcore DIYers. They've got several unique brands to tickle your fancy, from Babes featuring strong and iconic female adventurers that will fit into any genre, or Sidekicks, which features all kinds of fun companions, be it animals, vegetable, or elemental. Like this adorable Houdini, a 23mm owlbear hatchling. Don't forget Kitterkins, a series of fun and whimsical animal characters like Kiro the Frog Merchant. Or Signature 75, a line of 75mm sculpts. If you want to flex on a larger canvas, like Betty and Shrapnel, a World War II bombardier pilot with her own personal gremlin. One of the things I really appreciate about their site is the information. There are dimensions, base size, scale, and most importantly, right there in the description of each miniature is the sculptor, designer, and painter. It's always great to know whose work I'm looking at, and it'd be nice to see more companies adopt this practice. It makes it especially easy if you want to find more of their work. You can just type in the artist's name in the search bar, and you can see their whole lineup of work for Bombshell Miniatures. Best of all, they've given the TUP Nation a 10% off coupon code that you can find in the description below and also on screen right now for you YouTube viewers. That's good until the end of April. It's also good on their web store and also on their My Mini Factory page. Just in case 10% off wasn't enough, anyone who spends $40 or more gets a free Diane Archer miniature from their Counterblast line. Speaking of Counterblast, along with the line of pulp sci-fi characters that make great proxies for 5 Parsecs, Starfinder, Stargrave, or probably any other game with Star in the name, Bombshell Miniatures is also launching a Kickstarter for Counterblast RPG for Savage Worlds, a licensed setting using the Savage Worlds rule set. The campaign will include a hardcover rulebook specific to the Counterblast setting, 8 new playable character miniatures, and in keeping with the retro vibe, a limited edition lunchbox. You can get a taste of the rules right now with a free PDF called Jumpstart, and the Kickstarter itself will run from March 27th to April 14th of 2023. A big thank you to Bombshell Miniatures. You can find links to all of the stuff we mentioned in the ad in the description or show notes below, depending on where you're listening. Back to the episode.
All right, cool.
All right.
So that was us yammering for 22 minutes. Do you want to get started on some Q&A?
Yeah, the whole point of this is for you to ask us your awkward questions.
Yeah.
And us to try to one-up you in more awkward answers.
Yeah.
So what we're going to do now is there's a microphone here, and you can create a single file line. You want to get up in theirs, and you can ask us literally anything. Because we have the power of editing to take this off so we don't get demonetized.
What is your social security number?
7.
Right. And you don't, again, you don't need to crouch. You can just stand there and it will sound pretty good. All right, what's up? State your name.
My name is Darius.
Hi, Darius.
And this is a question more for Scott.
Okay.
Stupid question.
I have a question for John, but it's not hobby related at all. I'll ask you later. But I guess.
Okay. Why not right now?
I'm an architectural designer, and okay. My question for John would be: What did you not like about architecture that you decided you didn't want to?
Architectural
it.
History classes suck ass, dude.
Okay.
Dude, I fucking love the history of architecture, but all those old fucks can lick my nuts, dude. It's so fucking boring. Like, I want to see the Pantheon and try to recreate my own version of the Pantheon. I don't want to hear a dry old crotchety ass talk about it for 7 weeks. That's why I hate it.
That's fair. That's fair. And then my question for Scott was, I know you've been super busy with the new studio and all the content creation, but did you have any plans of entering the next Golden Demon or working on a big, like, whole hog competition? Is that a sore?
No, not at all.
Oh,
not at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think probably next time I will definitely have something that's actually legitimate and like a real entry. I'm having a lot of fun just painting gaming stuff, and if you've heard this story before, I'm sorry. But I just... for a long time, when I painted models, I just didn't have fun doing it. I only got joy when I finished the model, you know? And then I started playing games, and then I started enjoying the actual process as well as the end, and then as well as playing with the models. And I think that also allowed me to paint display models and enjoy that too. And so I wanted just to kind of keep chasing that joy a little bit and just paint models for my games. And the idea of, like, you know, painting a model for like 150 hours is just like not super appealing. But I think I definitely owe it to myself to give it a real shot. So yeah, next year for sure.
Awesome.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
What's your name? You can get a little bit closer to the mic too. Just so you don't gotta like lean down now.
Hi, I'm John.
Hey, with an H or without an H?
With an H.
Oh, John.
I'm sorry.
My question is, since the last Adepticon, what technique, experience, activity have you both done that you feel has been most impactful to your hobby journey? And Scott, why was it the Guild Ball game you played directly before this?
Because it's the only one I played this entire year. Do you have an answer to that question immediately?
I'll let you go first. I'm sure it's shorter.
Maybe. Maybe. So I've been writing a script. I said it's an LVO. I don't want to say it again.
They didn't watch that episode.
Maybe not. You go first.
Okay, so I decided that this year I was going to put myself out there and do as much as I could and try as hard as I could to create a piece that even if I don't win, that I will have this in my display case in my house until a billionaire buys it. And it is about a subject that I care about deeply, and it's about a piece of art that to me is the best piece of Warhammer art that's ever been created, and that is the cover art for the Soulbright Gravelords book. And so I thought that if I just was excited to have a thing that I could look at every day and smile, that it could take me through. And there was so many times where it hurt me to sit down and do it. But to me, the biggest thing that I felt improved me as a miniature painter this year was being willing to say, this isn't fun right now. But by the time I spent another hour tonight, I was glad I did it. Because oftentimes, when we sit down to paint, it feels like there's too much in our lives. It feels like there's other things I could be doing. It feels like there's other hobbies that would be more relaxing. It feels like there's a TV show I want to catch up on in the moment. And that painting feels like an additional chore. But unlike all of those other things, after the hour of painting, I always feel more fulfilled. So what I learned was that the feeling of digging in for the evening is worth it, because nothing that we do that is easy gives us enough satisfaction as the things that we do that are hard.
Okay.
Nice. Whoa. All right.
Good answer. Good answer.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm kind of sitting here trying to rack my brain for like an answer, but I don't think I really have one, and I think I know why. I don't know. I feel like in the last year, I've been kind of just like treading water in like a work sense. Like there are a lot of things that I feel like are commitments I made that are still like in progress being done. Like I'm sure a lot of you guys are Kickstarter supporters and you've been waiting very patiently for the things that I've made, and they're just not being created by the manufacturers. I'm kind of just waiting on that, and it understandably frustrates you, and it obviously frustrates me as well. And there are other things as well, other commitments that I've floated out that are just like in progress, and I feel like a little stuck in mud that I can't move anywhere creatively until I finish these things. And so what I actually started to do is I like employed some people to help me like kind of organize my schedule so I can own it instead of it owning me. I feel like I kind of just move from fire to fire. It's like, I got to make a video. Holy shit, I have a sponsorship. Oh my God, I have 70 emails in my inbox. I got to answer them. So it's kind of it's like this constant thing of just like, man, I keep just neglecting these things and I feel like I don't have any opportunity to like really experiment and do like things like John did, where he like, you know, he makes a video series about like a big display piece and he paints a big diorama for Golden Demon, which is like a huge accomplishment. It's like, it's such a big thing. Cause I don't feel like I have like the bandwidth time wise and mental energy wise to like really kind of engage in that. And so I think I really stagnated, you know, in many ways. So I don't have a great answer for your question, but that's kind of how it feels at the moment. Yeah. Well, thank you for the question, sure. Though, John.
Can we all hug Scott right now?
I'm the sad boy, okay? All right. All right, thank you, though. Appreciate it.
Kiss him in the mouth.
You just start fucking making out of here.
Oh, my God.
What's in that bottle?
What's up? I'm Sam.
It's Malort.
Whiskey and bubbly.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Look at this man's shirt.
I know. Nice shirt. I love it.
I'm sponsored by the podcast. Yeah. So my question is just in thought earlier at a seminar, I was really being the first time here at Adepticon, realizing like how much I missed being in art classes and physically seeing a piece. Because through the screen, you get some compression, you lose a lot of detail, and you kind of don't have a great idea of what's going on with a piece through a high-level painting job.
Yeah.
Until you see it in person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But because our hobby is so niche, like, the exposure is really limited.
Right.
You have to go to something like Adepticon and go see it in the case. And
yeah.
Like, most people get to do that once a year if they're lucky.
Okay.
But you get progression that way. So the question, I guess, is like seeing that progression, getting together and having this time to look at where things are going. Where do you guys see the trends changing in models, how people are influencing each other? Like what's the direction in painting style that you see emerging that's new or that you're excited about where you think like
it's kind of going,
it's
right?
It's changing, right?
Like okay, yeah.
Metallic metal was new at some point.
Right.
What's the next thing? Or what's the thing you guys are noticing recently or this year that's a trend?
So I just realized, can the guys in the back, guys and girls, can you guys hear the questions? Good?
Sorry, barely? I'm really soft.
No, that's okay. That's okay. Basically, the question is where do you see miniature painting going style-wise at the moment? And you see little changes. So like things like with NMM, you'll see people like adding like photography defects to their paint job because we view a lot of life through photography. Like I know I've mentioned on the podcast before, but like chromatic aberration. So a camera can't handle max brightness sometimes. So the sensor adds like a little yellow burn ring around it that kind of fades out. So you'll see people like Lan like adding a little bit tinge of yellow to their highlight right at the edges. Or people will take like gloss paint and selectively paint it on parts of the NMM, like Dave Cowell does this, to get reflections in certain areas that like only show up when the light hits it. So like there are small things like that, but it's a really interesting question because it kind of cracks something open about miniature painting, and that we're all kind of like, I think the majority of people painting models are all about realism for the most part, right? Like you have like impressionism and expressionism and like art, and it's like totally different ways of approaching like that medium. But like, you don't often see things that are super outside of the box with mini painting, but like you see small evolutions like that. And then over the course of a decade, you compare NMM, you know, in 2030 to NMM in 2010,
10. And it's like, yeah. It's an insane difference because those small little things over that long just like add up to a huge difference.
It's like a technical arms race, right?
Kind of, yeah. That's what it feels like. It's very technique and realism focused.
Yeah. Yeah.
How about you? What have you noticed?
I think we're on, there's two parallel tracks right now. It's a fork in the road. We've gotten to a point in miniature painting where the technical perfection of trying to emulate reality has gone through the paces, much like it did in like the Renaissance period, where the artist now had the tools to try to emulate the world around them. Mm-hmm. And once that became so prolific, so proficient, you had the masters that could emulate art and feeling and reality through their tools, then gave birth to something entirely different, we are at that point, or will be very shortly in miniature painting, where there are artists now in the 3D miniature sphere that can create things that look so incredibly realistic, it's almost mind-numbing, especially if you see them in person.
Yeah.
So at what point do we then say, that has been done, and now what will we do?
Yeah. Are you referring to Dairy Queen Night right now?
Dairy Queen Night? Oh,
yeah. and that is exciting, right?
Yeah.
Because when I say there is a fork in the road and the parallels will now diverge, one of those parallels is linked intrinsically to Games Workshop in how they view the games and the models that we play. And the other will go so far off into the outer space that we don't know what it could be. And that's the good fucking track right there.
Yeah. It's actually interesting, like, how much of, like, display painting is dictated by, like, what judges expect at various competitions, right? Mm-hmm. That's where you see, like, a lot of really nice display painting. And you see a lot outside of that as well. Mm-hmm. But I wonder if you had lots of competitions that, like, kind of went for different like rubrics, different things to judge people on, if you would see more divergent styles and stuff like that. But yeah, this is a great question, and I want to have a little bit more expertise to answer it, because I'm not the most amazing painter. Sam, do you want to answer this question? Like, where do you see miniature painting going
now? Sam Lenz, ladies and gentlemen.
My name is Sam Lenz. I have an untreated concussion. I'm very quick to anger. I want to say, currently, we live within a miniature painting renaissance, right? The best miniature painters that have ever lived are alive right now. So, yeah, it's kind of fun to think about where it could go and where it could progress. That's crazy to think about the gloss coats on top of non-metallic metal.
Fucking crazy, dude.
I don't know. That's all about I have to say about that. But
yeah. I mean,
it is fucking crazy to see things kind of changing. I see a lot of leaning towards larger scales as well.
Right. What is the definition of miniatures? Like, we've seen out, if you all go out to the vendor booth, hit the Journeyman Miniatures booth. Okay. First of all, they make beautiful stuff, but they have a female samurai that they have in two scales. Oh, I snuck that swiper, no swiping over here. And they have two versions of that. And one of them is like the size of a goddamn transformer. The creep in scale continues to raise. And at what point are the things that we do in miniature painting going to blend in with traditional sculpture and art? And what does that mean? And how does that bring us into the fold?
We're just going to be painting Roman sculptures, you know.
Well, it's strange. Everybody wants to tell you're just painting toys, you know. Not everybody. Not the people in this room. But on one side, you have maybe pre-painted HeroClix miniatures. On the other end, you have John's diorama.
There's
a sliding scale of what becomes a toy and what becomes art. And there is an area in between all that. So I don't know why I said that. But yeah, it's a sliding scale. And I'm really happy that you made that. I want to see the black backdrop as well. It looks weird. It looks weird in the cabinet.
But yeah.
The quality you put into that is so fucking high.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Sam.
And so am I. So cheers, everybody.
Thank you. Hey, he got it.
All right, cool. What's up?
My name is Silas.
Hey, Silas.
My first question, or, well, my question is, as it stands, who is owing who chicken on the way to Minnesota?
Okay. Oh, I mean, okay. So the question was, who owes who chicken? So we have a tradition about whenever someone wins in any painting competition, the other people have to buy the food. And I would say I'm definitely buying food on the way back.
Bro, is there a Gordon Ramsay steakhouse that sells chicken on the way home?
Yeah, it's called Popeyes, baby! Awesome. Thank you, Silas. I appreciate it.
Right. I'm sorry about your shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a Viking shirt.
Also, I have an apology for John.
Okay.
I'm underage. But if I was overage, there would be 20 shots of hidden fireball all over. Okay.
Yeah. Wait. Is this like a theoretically?
This is a theoretically. Since I'm
theoretically,
underage.
if you had access,
he does not need to hide them. He has literally like 12 right here.
It is not. It is not about the destination. It's about the journey, motherfucker. Yeah.
Right.
Whatever you need to do.
It's fucking Easter egg hunt.
How's it going, guys? Name's Chris.
Hey, Chris.
So I found that while I've been miniature painting for about 25 years, I did most of my learning really early on.
Yeah.
I did a little learning about 6 years ago when I got back into it. And I found that I've gotten into this high tabletop rut.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to break out of it and try to get into the display painting that I'd rather kind of get into, because I want to follow your order and enter the Golden Demon next year.
Yeah.
But I never time manage well enough or think about it well enough and life gets in the way. So like, how do you get out of a rut when you, I think I paint fine and all my friends tell me it looks great, but I'm not happy with it.
Do you have a technique you're bad at? You haven't tried?
I've been working on a lot of them. Like I just took a wet blending class because for 20 years, I've never decided to try to take on wet blending. And I know like I'm going to try that now, but I feel like I just need either the right project or the right motivation. So like, is there ever a time when you guys get caught in a rut technically and you need to try to push yourself in a different direction to break out of it?
Never.
No. Well then screw me.
Okay. So I got a quick response to that. So the first thing that really helps when you feel like your eyes are failing you, right? Like you don't know that what you see, where are your short-sightedness? Where do you need to improve? It really helps to get somebody, especially somebody that really knows what they're doing, to help you along that way. And there are amazing painters, and much of what they do to help them make a living is they have amazing content on Patreon as well as
the shill.
God damn it, it's not my Patreon. let me finish the sentence. Right? And they have certain tiers that are one-on-one coaching. And so there are many in this room. There is Sam Lenz, there's Ben Komitz, there is Mamikon, just from three that I know that are sitting here tonight that have helped people give you one-on-one feedback and to look at your stuff and be like, here's what I do. Next week, I want you to do this and come back and show me. And getting that second set of eyes and getting someone to push you is a big thing. Maybe you can find a partner, someone in your same town that you can say, let's do this together. It's our journey together. We're going to learn. We're going to examine stuff on Instagram. We're going to find the people that are the world's best painters. And we're going to try to look at it and what makes it good. That's what I do a lot is I look at Sam's work. I look at Ben's work. I look at Dave Coleswell's work. And I say, what about this just makes me say, wow. And then I try to dissect it in my brain. Reverse engineer, how do I think they accomplished it? And then I try that. Inevitably, I fucking suck at it. And then I text Sam.
All right, so I need to get Sam's number.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But if you don't have a Sam to talk to,
just pay him $50 a month.
Yeah. On Patreon, Samson Arts. Do you think like you have a particular style that you stick to as a crutch?
I don't know.
Maybe.
It's like army painting pretty much.
Okay.
And while I try to like push on like, you know, making better highlights or doing different textures, I got an airbrush a while back and started working with airbrush work, but not just airbrush work because I'm shit at it.
Yeah.
Sort of
I mean, yeah, it's learning it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. Not specifically. I just think I need to stretch out of certain techniques, but I'm not sure if there's like a best way to do it.
Yeah.
And I think I do. What John said, like, I do not have a person around me in my life that's a miniature painter. And when I was younger, when I first started, I had a bunch of guys that were like better painters than I could ever be. Golden Demon winners that were like GW staff members that taught me like my first painting class ever. And I got to like aspire. And I don't have that except for what we have in the social media like sphere now. Right. So it's hard like locally to be like, hey, bud, you know, I want to outpaint my friend,
right?
I think it's hard to find, like, while social media is out there, to join it and stay with it. So like trying to do it within my own bubble, trying to like beat myself is a little hard. Yeah. But
totally
I get it, like,
you know,
Patreons do help, right?
I don't think and you shouldn't feel bad, because I don't think pretty much everybody in this room is in a similar boat in that they don't have a close friend that is trying to push themselves. And that doesn't mean you have bad friends. I mean, you probably do, but what that means is that you need to understand like that's a world that I cannot support. So I need to find a different solution for that. And honestly, I started miniature painting watching Painting Buddha. And I looked at stuff that I didn't think was possible, and all I did was watch it over and over and over, and I tried
and
to do it.
And he just got better from watching it. So watch our videos over and over.
Yeah, and don't paint, though. Don't paint. Just watch them. Yeah. So I'd watch it three times, and then I tried to do the non-metallic metal gold highlight on the booby plate of that Stormcast Eternal like Ben did. And I fucked it up, and I fucked it up, and I fucked it up. But if I watch him, and then I put it in 0.75 speed, and then I put it in 0.5 speed, and I watch the way his brush works, there's so much in the technical aspect of miniature painting that goes by so fast that you don't understand unless you put in the reps of the pressure of the way you move, of how you pull out the pressure or you apply more. And only doing it and then watching it and doing it. And that's why classes in person can really help. When you're like, hey, I'm paying you $50 to teach this class, get over my fucking shoulder and tell me what I'm doing wrong. And so that is a really important thing. But you have to say to yourself, I'm willing to find somebody I really appreciate how good they are. And it can be on YouTube. It can be on Twitch. It can be on somebody's Patreon. And be willing to just repeat and repeat and try it and fail, because the more you fail, the more you'll learn, because it is not worth your time to just make the same mistakes over and over again. And you will naturally be like, I'm not going to keep doing this if I'm just going to make the same mistakes. And without trying to get better, it will naturally happen, and you will recognize what is the thing that made it different.
Thank you for the question. We appreciate it.
All right. Thanks a lot.
I appreciate the sign language there.
The jazz hands, yeah. Got to get you ready for this top tier question.
Top tier question.
Yeah. All right.
Big
high expectations.
Big
right
question.
Now.
Everyone, hold their seats.
John wins the stream.
Oh shit!
You promised,
dude. I promised that I was going to start streaming on Twitch like right before I quit my day job and became a full time YouTuber. And I was like, I'm going to 100. Hundo P, I'm going to do that.
Do it.
Sure. Do it.
Sure. Vince, you motherfucker. I'll get you in here. Primo, so, I don't know, man. Like, I love, dude, I would, here's the thing. I feel like I would say stuff in the moment that, like, I'd be like, no. But then I'm like, I watch Sam, and I'm like, okay.
No.
I bought everything's hooked up on my computer. I have everything ready to do it, and All I need is three more people to ask that same question.
All right. Oh, we got like a liar.
Yeah. Okay. My real question is, the year is 2030, and Mr. Nabisco, being impressed by your review of the Oreo Cakesters, has hired the two of you to create a chain restaurant based on one extinct animal that they will revive and make tendies out of. What animal and what is the name?
Okay.
Best question ever.
Extinct? Yeah. It's very near future stuff, yeah.
It's like early 90s movie, and they're like, far future, 2013. There's a game show where people die. It's called The Running Man.
Do you have an answer to this question? I feel like I don't know much about extinct animals.
Oh, I'm going to say the giant sloth. So the giant sloth lived... He lived in northern Canada and Alaska. The giant sloth, picture right now, that's what it looked like. He was slow. He's delicious, apparently. But the problem was is that the giant sloth lived at the same time as the long-nosed bear. And that was a big bear.
Yeah.
It was very, very big. And it lived mostly on sloths.
Why'd you ask this question?
So if you put onion powder, Cajun seasoning, in a buttermilk batter, nothing's better than giant sloth.
I want mammoth tendies.
Oh.
That's what I want. No explanation. Okay. No recipe either. Get out of here. Great question, though. We appreciate it. All right, what's up?
Hi, my name's Evan.
Hey, Evan.
First of all, the right answer is dodo birds.
Oh, he got
him. God damn it. Okay.
Dude, you can make dodo birds omelets and tendies.
God damn it.
First question is, when are you going to start the stream, John?
One.
That was one. Okay.
And then the real question. So I know that you guys are, like, really good at painting, but, like, how do you... How do you not nitpick yourself to the point where you're like, well, I'll just never enter Golden Demon? Like,
yeah. So when you paint something, are you always painting like the best thing you can paint?
I try to.
Yeah.
I mean, I struggle with painting an intercessor for my Space Marines in not 8 hours.
But like, it's still like the best thing you could do, or very close to it, right?
I tried, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
No, you are. That is the best thing you could do. If you're trying, it is, right? It's a representation of your skill. At a certain point, you get to a point where it's just like, that just takes too long, and it's just like, it's so draining. And so you can just, you start to paint things at a 5 out of 10, a 6 out of 10, and it's just like, so you can like have some joy, have a quick turnaround process, it doesn't take forever. And like, I think that point, when you start like not painting everything to full ball sack all the time.
Full ball sack.
It's when you stop nitpicking yourself. And maybe it's an excuse. It's kind of like, well, this is 5 out of 10 ball sack, so I don't need to nitpick myself because I wasn't trying that hard. But I think that's the answer for me. It's just like, I'm not always putting in full effort, so I'm not going to – there's no point in nitpicking at that point. I made the conscious choice to, you know, save time and fall a little short of that 10 out of 10.
Okay.
Yeah.
A person much wiser than me once said that if you ever feel that your work is perfect, you should stop doing it. You'll never love it. And the sooner you realize that you will never love it, the more you can just let go of that and just embrace that me not loving it is me growing. And to say that if you are going to say, I want this to be better, then guess what? If you keep at it, it'll be better.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'll see you next Golden Demon.
Woo! There it is! Hello.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey.
He's got a fucking goody pee-pee shirt on.
Hell yeah, brother!
Fucking A.
Yeah. So I had like four questions, but they were all answered, so
okay.
Fuck. So I got to think of something from the top of my head here. Okay. Something that's
Do you want to like bounce back like two slots in line?
Stream. Huh? Wait, what?
Why don't you just like bounce back like two slots in line and then think of a question and it'll be right there.
Actually, wait, no, you know what? I got something.
Okay, we got it. All right.
Got him. Okay.
Okay, so I know you guys have talked before about like the decision to go full-time with what it is that you guys do.
Yeah.
But I imagine there's a lot of weighing pros and cons when it comes to making a decision like that. But I also imagine there is probably one crucial element somewhere in the long lines where you're thinking about it that decided to make you go, you know what, I'm just going to do it now. For you guys, and I guess for pretty much any professional money painter out there too, what was the decision that pushed you guys to do that?
Yeah.
Healthcare insurance.
Yeah. Definitely a sticking point.
I'm not fucking joking.
Yeah.
I'd be dead if I didn't have healthcare insurance.
Yeah.
And I have a wonderful wife that works a regular job. I pay $1,300 a month, even with her healthcare insurance, to live. That is it. Yeah. Right. Canada, are you accepting applications?
Yeah. I think, and I may have explained this before, but I have a very risk-averse wife, and so she was not okay with me quitting my software engineering job to do YouTube videos about painting tiny men.
I love
understandably,
all of tiny
yeah.
Tiny men is the best description of what we do.
It is. But yeah, very understandable, right? And so I had to cut a deal with her. We looked at the last 6 months of our finances, averaged out all the normal things we spend money on. And so it's like we have this value every month that we spend on not just bills, but also like fun things like eating out or going to the movies and stuff like that. And when I was able to hit that number consistently for like 3 months in a row, that's when she was like, okay, you can quit now. So like it wasn't like I feel the power and then I quit. It was more like, okay, this is very measured and like responsible. And I would have done that if I was married, okay? I would have like quit at like 500 subs and just like was in like a one room apartment like with no clothes on and just making videos right away, you know? So
but dude, you're feeling the power now, right?
Yeah.
Make way more money if that's what you're doing, bro.
All right. Well, thanks, guys.
Yeah. It's like I could be like Luke's like brother in that one video where he made that river and he's singing back.
His brother's tiny whiteies.
Yeah.
What's good, guys?
Hey!
My name's Jason.
Hey, Jason. We know you.
Yeah, thanks. as a beginner kind of painter, switching up from trying to go from years of just slapping two separate colors onto a miniature to trying edge highlighting for the first time a few weeks ago, buying my own wet palette and using that for the first time.
Yes.
I'm trying to experiment with different colors and using shades for the first time.
Yeah.
And although my shit is hot ass, it's my hot ass, you know?
It is your hot ass, Jason.
And
AA meeting. You're like, yeah! Your hot ass, Jason!
But I'm trying to work on some horns of Hashut that my buddy Carlos lent me.
Okay.
And I want to work on some iron golems next, but I'm trying to experiment with different things like Mortarion Grime or other shades.
Mm-hmm.
What I want to ask is, do you guys have like a bias or a preference for like a shade or a paint that you guys like tend to lean more towards too? Okay. And also, what Warcry factions did you guys play?
I'm like super into like 80s fantasy right now, and so there's a warband, I think they're called the Dark Oath Savagers.
Mm-hmm.
Not savages, savagers.
Mm-hmm.
They're savage people. And there's a guy that's basically Conan in that warband, and there was like a version of Conan.
Yeah.
And so I was like, absolutely, I'm doing
Conan's
that.
On Conan.
Yeah, so I did the Savagers. But for like a color, I love dark blue for shadows. And so for a wash, what's
Dreckenhof
Nightshade? That one. That one's super good for a wash. For an actual paint, I love deep blue from scale 75.
Okay.
But any color that's naturally dark, blues and purples are just and dark greens. They're just great for shadows, just naturally.
So, I'm gonna answer this question by giving a shout out to Jason right here. So
Jesus.
Okay, so so ladies and gentlemen, Jason is new to painting and new to trying hard, and his good buddy Juan Carlos roped him in to a terrible, terrible idea.
Yeah.
And that idea was to take a 2-day-long,
16-hour
miniature painting class by these two motherfuckers in Las Vegas.
Where you paint a model that's a scale that you've never painted, right?
Nope.
First a human month too. And a half ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And this son of a bitch tried his fucking ass off for 16 hours over 2 days. And I would not have known, Jason, that you had not done that before.
Yeah. So shout out to you, man. It was amazing.
Jason! So
hot ass.
It's his ass.
Hot ass.
So my answer, Jason, is just release. It is not those colors. You have it in you. You can do it.
Wow. Okay. Reading Rainbow. There you go.
Butterfly in the sky.
I'm also bound by contract. When's the stream?
Two. That was two. All right.
You know what I'm going to ask first. When's the stream?
That's three.
Yeah.
It's happening now.
Yeah. I will start a stream and it just relays it to Zambies and Whittle Goblin and Sam Lenz, and it just gives you the good shit that's already happening. So,
anyways, hi, I'm Josh.
Hey, Josh. Hey,
question
Josh.
For you. What are you willing to stamp your flag in the ground right now and say you are accomplishing by Adepticon next year? Whether it's a Golden Demon, Risen Beast, is there something that you're willing to be like, hey, by next year, this is what I'm doing.
Okay. Yeah.
So that way I can set a reminder in my phone. So.
Got him.
Yeah, I have like a piece that's like half done. It's a Drazhar model. But the problem is I didn't paint him like Drazhar. Like I think Drazhar has like a specific scheme. And I've like found out in the last year that if you like don't paint, like if you paint an ultramarine in yellow, you're fucked. It doesn't matter if it's like amazing, you will lose. So I was okay, I gotta pivot a little bit. So I gotta do some conversion to make him seem not like Drazhar. But I wanna do a dual piece between two what are they called?
The
sword guys.
Lil Mens.
No, what are they called? Incubi, thank you. Two incubi dueling, because like it's a part of their culture to like see who's the best. So like they often duel and kill each other. So I want to do a dual piece between two incubi, where one's like leaping off of a fucking pillar and just slashing some dude, and the one guy is like over halfway done.
Nice.
So yeah, that'll be hopefully easy, and if not, just that single figure. Yeah. How about you? I mean, I feel like this is a little bit of an unfair question for you, because you had a great answer to when I asked you like, are you going to compete next year? And I think this is applicable right now.
Oh, yeah. Good answer.
You're welcome.
Good answer, Steve.
I can
Harvey.
Also just give yeah. you his answer, because he's like
a little busy right now.
Yeah, just a little.
Fuck.
Con John's in full swing.
Yeah, 100%. Hondo P. All right.
No, give my answer.
No, you can do it. It's fine.
I literally don't remember it.
Okay. Here's the answer. He worked on the diorama for so long, and to already start thinking about next year robs this experience of the joy that he should have having finished that piece. So I feel like you may just wait like a 2 weeks, whatever, a month, until I think you start thinking about that choice and just experience the here and now. That's what you said earlier at lunch.
Yeah, no, that sounds like a really wise thing.
Yeah. So ask him in a month and have an answer. Yeah.
No, and I think that applies to all of us, whether it is I painted one model, I completed a war band, I finished my army. Give yourself that satisfaction and feel good moment, that euphoria, those endorphins. Embrace them, because that is why we do this. And if you push too fast to the next thing, eventually it's going to catch up with you. Mm-hmm. So you need to just say, breathe deep. And smell that malort.
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
I'll ask you then on Twitch on stream then when you get up and running.
Ha! Got him.
All right, we got a 20-minute warning. We want to be done at 10:30 so we can hang out just to chat with you guys afterwards.
Or I pee my pants. Okay. One of the hat. One of the two.
Jeremy, fellow Minnesotan.
Nice, hell Minnesota. Yeah. All right, cool. What up, Joey?
Couple Jeremy. Quick questions. Jeremy.
Okay.
Yep. John, Magic, what format?
I'm a draft whore, so I love me limited. Some limited, because that takes multiple levels of expertise.
Favorite
and strategy
draft.
In the format.
Favorite draft to or set to draft.
Mirrodin block.
Mirrodin, nice.
Okay,
Scott. Yeah, right. Huge fan. Love your stuff.
Thank you.
Always wondered. I really liked your blade that you recently did. I thought that was really cool for MCP.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I would love to see you do some like comic book style comic characters. I know you've been talking about doing some like drop lighting style like that. Yeah. What comic book character would be your favorite to paint?
Definitely Morbius.
Morbius, of course.
100%, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's Morbin time,
okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, what time is it?
I'm not even joking. I like the fucking character. Yeah. Screw you all.
Yeah.
The movie was fine. What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
It was a 3 out of 5, okay? It wasn't good. It wasn't bad.
Right? Awesome.
Yes.
And then for the both
like
of you,
morbid.
For the both of you, favorite John Carpenter film since you're both on
The Thing.
Yes.
Tommyknockers.
Oh,
Tommyknockers.
On it. What? Stephen King, baby. No, John Carpenter.
John Carpenter did Tommyknockers though.
Really?
Oh, didn't he? No. Y'all are like, no.
No.
Fuck you.
The Thing is the correct answer, yeah, so yes, yeah, thank you guys.
You're welcome for the assist, bud.
I mean, that's an opinion.
It isn't, though.
Hi, my name is Norbert.
Norbert.
Thanks for doing the show. I struck by a comment that Scott made a little while back that I was hoping you could expand on. You said YouTube videos, or maybe videos in general, don't do so well if they're not using Warhammer models.
Did I say that? Like in the show?
Or literally
so.
Every week?
Yeah, I thought so. And yeah, so I thought I'd like to understand that a little bit better, considering that, you know, you were making videos for helping people learn how to paint or to learn techniques, and so it shouldn't really matter terribly much what model it is. And
totally right.
So like, why is that? And secondly, you also mentioned a campaign maybe to try to get a number of content creators for like a month not to use Warhammer
models.
Yeah,
it's April.
Totally not doing that, right?
It's April.
Totally not doing it.
No, what we are. What are you talking about? It's April. It's planned. We have people roped in. It's April.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay, great. That's good news. But so maybe you can talk a little bit about
hashtag
why.
Hashtag blackout.
Yeah. What? No. Yeah. Yeah, so I think because as a YouTuber, we have multiple goals. Our goals aren't exclusively education. They're also to make a living. And so, and part of that living comes from increased exposure from using popular products. But it certainly doesn't have to be all GW all the time. But mixing them in every now and then helps channels stay a little bit more relevant. It helps outreach, which is a huge thing, right? Because like people, like YouTubers, have a mixture of content. They'll do like big, awesome projects. They'll do stuff that satisfies their core audience and all kinds of different stuff. And because they like, you know, satisfy different metrics on YouTube. And so I think the biggest one is outreach. Like new people will be found when you're painting popular stuff, because they're most looking for that kind of content. So it's not necessary to do it all the time, but for some of your content, I would say it's necessary. You don't have to do anything, really, but it is helpful for outreach.
Yeah, so at work, when Brenda says, I need those TPS reports, you can say, I'm going to burn this building to the ground, or you can say, I got a meeting with the Bobs later.
What's
I appreciate
going on
the
here?
People that got the reference right now. it is the world that we live in, whether you have to have a performance review or your performance review is literally your data analytics via this soul-sucking YouTube algorithm that tells you your value. Now, the tough part is that you have to have this fight with yourself every week or every month or every video about what is your actual value. And the more you look at what YouTube tells you what your value is, the more you realize that the more I try to do what YouTube tells me to do, the more my soul is leaving my person. however, if my soul is entirely within my person, I cannot pay the rent. So you have this Ghostbusters in between myself and in the stratosphere moment where
It's between my head and the heavens where it needs to fluctuate to where I can feel it's close enough to me that I can reach up and grab it.
Dude, what the fuck are you talking about?
Okay. Sam gets it.
Sam gets everything. But yeah, I think the other thing...
This suddenly got awkward.
The other thing is that everyone talks...
I love Goobs. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
I mean, yeah. I know. We know that. Okay, the other thing about the algorithm that really inspired me is, what is the algorithm based on?
Robots.
No. It's based on what is succeeding on the platform right now and who makes that choice. The creators, right? And so new things happen all the time. Like the Fiverr thing was a huge thing like a year ago. And that's because one person made a choice about a format that blew up. And now everyone's like, okay, now I'm going to do Fiverr videos. That's what the algorithm wants. But the algorithm only wanted it because people who were creative found it in the first place. So the next big thing that's algorithm shifting is just like one creative risk away, right? And if you're a new content creator especially, you have... like you have so much room just to risk it all because there's nothing on the line, right? And like if a video is so bad, you can just remove it. But like if you're not dependent on anything, try things out. Maybe you're going to find the next Fiverr video thing, right? So yeah. Yeah.
Thank you for the Fiverr. Fiverr. Okay. This is awkward. Usually we get to stop the recording right now because I'm going to pee really bad right now. So I'm gonna tag in.
Should we do an intermission?
My German brother from another mother, Ben Komitz,
is Ben
come
here?
Up in here. Is I think he still here? Awkward if he's not here.
I saw Ben walk out.
Motherfucker.
Yeah.
Sam. All right, I got to pee.
You, sprint. Sprint.
So, okay.
Sprint.
Two things. You can't take your glasses off. And you have to answer the questions as if you're me.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I can doodly do that.
I like how you broke the first rule instantaneously. He was like, first rule, can't take your glasses off, like, as he's taking them off.
No freaking problem. All right, you goody doo-doo pee-pee sucker something.
Hi.
Sucking pee-pee doo-doo.
Hi, I'm Sarah.
Hi, Sarah.
It's the question that I wanted to ask has kind of already been touched on a little bit, but sure. I was wondering, like, when you first started, like, doing your art and stuff, how did you get over, like, posting your art? So I do a lot of different kinds of art. I painted my first mini today.
Nice. Congratulations.
Thanks.
Fuck yeah.
But, like, when you do your art, I was wondering, like, how... It's scary to post it online. So, like, how do you get over that?
Don't.
Yeah.
Do you want to?
I mean, like, I do sometimes, and I think it's fun. And I want to show other people, but then, like... It's scary.
Sure, it's a mentality thing. It's not. It's sharing.
Mm-hmm.
What you're doing is sharing your work, you know? And people want to see it. The people that are looking for painted models, share it out.
What about it is scary?
Yeah.
The internet is scary and people are mean, so they're going to be like, oh, well, this is
there's more nice people
something.
Than there are mean people, though.
Yeah, okay.
That is
nice.
All
so
in this room
just
right now.
Keep finding all the mean people.
Yeah, and you're going to use, we suffer in our imagination, right? This one person is going to say something shitty about what you did, and that's what sticks out because of the sea of positive compliments.
Yeah.
Let's focus on the positive. And you're sharing. We need this, you know? And, yeah, just elevating miniature painting in general by putting your work out there.
Yeah.
So yeah. Keep it up. Fuck those fucking haters. They're just jealous.
Honestly, that's what it is.
Anyone that hates your shit, they're jealous.
Yeah. I don't have like a great answer for the question. You know, I think you're gonna put stuff out there and like the larger you get, the larger, you know, like everyone's got like 1% of their, you know, comments on any platform are mean stuff, right? And so if you have 100,000 people looking at your Instagram post, you're going to get, you know, a couple of mean comments. Mm-hmm. But at least starting out, because you are smaller, you see those comments more and frequently. And then over time, you know, a couple sneak in, like they're upsetting, but you kind of almost like, I don't know, develop a little bit of a shell the more you hear them. And it gradually steps up and then you kind of just increase that shell a little bit more. And so it's a very natural progression. I don't think there's like a... There's nothing to really save you from it, right? People, like there's no barrier, right? You can block people, but that first initial mean comment is going to come through, and it's gonna hurt. I'm not gonna lie.
And then you make a show about it.
Yes,
hatred is a sign of success, Sarah. The wider of net you cast, the more crabs you will catch. I live in a.
Sometimes you get a bottle.
I live in a world based on fish. I paint miniatures to buy fish. Why don't I just work for fish, right? Yeah, you're casting a wide net, but please share it and use a cloud of hashtags. This is the best advice you gave me, was to write your hashtags down in a notepad and just copy and paste them on every post.
Yeah. Is that helpful at all? I'm not sure that's helpful
at all. Put it out there.
Yeah, that was good.
All right, cool.
It's more encouraging.
All right, yeah, good luck. Good luck.
Please do it.
Please do it, yes.
Okay,
think about
thank you.
Us telling you to do it.
Yeah. Okay.
And crabs.
Maybe jealous. I'll let people see my model then.
They're all jealous.
Thank you.
Hey.
Hello. Go.
Yeah, solid.
Well, okay, so.
We got five minutes. 5 minutes.
I waited outside for you. Apparently, you were already done.
Oh, yeah.
I was trying to be a gentleman.
All right. What's the next question?
Hi, I'm Newman.
Hey, I recognize you.
Yeah. So, if a game has good lore, it can really juice you to paint a model for it.
Yeah.
And if a game has a good model and you like painting it, it can juice you to like the lore and to like the game.
For sure.
I am finally old enough to play a historical war game tournament.
Oh, wait. What's that age? What's that age?
I'm getting closer and closer. I'm 38
39.
Okay. I'm 38 and I look at tanks and I'm like,
okay, but
cool.
Who plays historical war games in here?
Just him.
Wait. How old was the one person who raised their hand?
What?
How old? Okay, it's coming down. Yeah. Okay, all right.
But I
starred in Saving Private Ryan.
What the fuck? All right, what's the real question?
But is there anything in real life lore? Doesn't need to be history. It could be science. It could be, you know, space shuttles. Whatever. Mm. Is there anything in real life lore that would juice you enough to make a diorama, a miniature, or a model?
Oh yeah. Mm.
Oh.
Yeah, give me this. Give me this, Sam. Give it to me.
Okay, baby. Do I put my mouth around it?
No.
Yeah, that's the answer.
So, I like to say it like this. Like, everywhere you go is an inspiration, right? You're walking down a trail, and you get to choose the snapshot of where the model belongs. You can take the picture over a bridge, or you can take the picture over a boring part of the trail. All right? What was the question? What the fuck? It's so warm.
Is it getting warm?
Yeah, I remember when I listened to Hunger Strike for the first time by Temple of the Dog. And,
hold on, John. Speaking to the fucking mic, bro.
I think I hear it.
No,
I think we were
that's
talking.
That's the end of the story.
I'm like racking my brain right now and coming up with absolutely nothing. But I think obviously
it may have to be sci-fi or fantasy.
The question. Say it again.
So the thing is anything in real life that's not sci-fi, it's not fantasy, a real life modern thing that inspires your art, like anything that like gets you excited.
God, constantly.
What?
Every lighting situation that I observe when I look at shadows crossing a sidewalk and I see blue shadows and warm highlights right next to each other. Yeah, everything I see is inspiration. Everywhere I go, I'm looking at something and asking myself, how can I replicate this? How can I paint this? How can I recreate it?
Yeah, when you start staring at door handles, it's bad.
I look at every fucking material. Like, this is where I'm at right now. I'm studying material difference, right? You have reflective objects and you have light absorbent objects and everything in between and everything I'm looking at. When I look at you right now, I see your beautiful face.
I see the your oil.
The oil. I see the hard drop shadow. Yeah. You know, a little bit of gloss in
the bag. Skin.
Yeah. And well, not because of your bag, because of the light.
See, though, like if you were to hold a sword to your chest, good sir, you would have a light reflective object next to a light absorbent object, right? Your T-shirt is absorbing the light. I'm slurring as fuck, and your sword would be reflecting the light.
Yeah.
And they're sitting underneath the same situation. So I'm always trying to study that. And even just looking at this lighting situation right now, John's shining, silvering hair, his hot ass on my leg.
Everything, so hot right
everything inspires me. But yeah, what I'm keyed in on is material difference and the constantly observing the real world and what it inspires me to do and then making the separation between what is animated and what is reality. Rule of cool on top of that, you know?
Okay, so like for like technique focused applications. Okay,
my brain hurts. That was so good.
Yeah, I love hurting your brain.
That was a great answer. I'll give a shitty one. Okay, so my wife forces me to watch Love Island, but I secretly love it. Okay. Hey, I admitted it.
Every time we go to PizzaCon,
I'm on like fucking 30s.
Bed together, and you're like.
No, the real story is he asks to watch it. Okay, that's my story. Anyways, just an example. I have like a little mood board that I have of like cool things that I want to put in models eventually that I make. And one cool thing I saw on that show was there was a person who was wearing like some heels that had like a ton of straps that went up her leg, and they were glowing. They were glowing, and that's such a cool like sci-fi like concept for like a cyberpunk like character that I really love. So I'll see things like that, take a picture, put it in like a Google Slides doc just to use later for a model.
Awesome. Thank you.
Cool. Absolutely. Woo! Mavicon! The one, the only!
Hi, gents. My name is Mamikon. Okay. And I have a question about Golden Demon as well.
Okay.
There's been plenty of questions about Golden Demon today, but what is the key thing that is so appealing for you in Golden Demon that makes you want to win it and compete every year?
Clearly,
what
nothing.
Is the key thing in Golden Demon that makes you want to win and compete every
Thank
year?
Thank you for replying word for word what I said.
To make sure that everyone in the back hears that, because that's a great question.
I think it's the exclusivity, right? It's like there are systems that are open, but in Golden Demon, there is one first place person in single Age of Sigmar. Mm. And so when you put a model into that category full of 50, 70, 100 entries, and you are top three, that's just a feeling that no one can describe. But then you forget about the other 97 people who lost, you know? So actually one thing that Golden Demon is doing like in this last year that's really cool is they have the whole commended entry, the finalist thing. So it's like a stepped approach to it. But I think it's really that exclusivity. It's like just being that top person in that category amongst many. At least for me, that's what appeals.
Sure.
But apparently that's not enough of an appeal because I don't do it ever.
Personal best and deadlines. P.S., they're just jealous. But the reason to compete, the reason to go hard for these contests is to push yourself and reach your personal best. We were talking about this earlier, right? Like you're only as good as the last thing you did, right? I could show the Mona Lisa to Leonardo da Vinci, and he might be like, I wish I would have added more trees in the background. I don't know. The silhouette's kind of fucking weird. I could bench it up. But yeah, the Golden Demon, any competition is a chance to kind of just create your top level and just see how you do. And then push yourself further and further and further.
Or you want to crush your enemies before you.
The other side of the shoulder.
Finally, the truth has been spoken. Yes. Right,
Hail
thank you.
The victorious dead.
Hail!
Hail, yeah.
So for my question, well, first off, John, for Nova, do I need to bring Fireball? Do I need to bring more of it?
Yes.
Okay. He just looks at you.
Oh, yeah, Nova, too. I'm glad you're going. I'm going to Nova this year, too.
All right, I'll bring you Fireball too.
Hey!
For my real question, I'm actually very curious what your answer is, Sam, because I'm 50% sure that their answer is going to be you. But who are your like biggest like painting inspirations? Like who do you like look up to?
Frank Frazetta and Roman Lepot.
Okay.
Good answer.
How come?
I love chorus. I like canvas painters. What we are doing is taking two-dimensional techniques and wrapping them around a three-dimensional surface to enhance the volumes.
Let's check the board.
Just.
That is an answer.
Survey says you're wrong. Yeah, man, that's. You can see me. A little further back. I like it. Yeah. I like it. Yeah.
Thanks for the answer. All right, last question of the evening.
What's up, guys?
What's up?
They're just jealous.
I know.
This is the last question.
Hi.
Last question, right?
Last question.
I got a question for you, too.
Don't shush me.
I have a question.
Speaking of the mic, please.
Can we give props to our last question? The one, the only, the Zambies.
Zambies!
Why am I clapping for myself? So I got a question for each of you. John, when are you going to stream with me?
Hey.
Scott, I want to know how you liked my cookies. And Sam, where are you going to be in 10 years?
Holy shit, dude. Whoa.
I have not eaten the cookies yet.
Oh.
Boom!
I was going to ask that question to these fools.
All right. What's your question? Ten years.
John.
What are you doing?
No, John, come on.
Don't skip it.
All right. Whenever you want.
I'm holding you to that.
All right.
10 years. 10 years down the line, the apocalypse has happened. I'm looking sick. I'm jacked, tan, succulent, like a fucking plant that absorbs a lot of water. Yeah. I'm ripping shit up. I got a lot of chainmail. Like three layers of chainmail.
Most of it. Most of the
chainmail.
Yeah,
in 10 years. I still have a Patreon somehow. Somehow the internet. Patreon.com/timeruns artwork. Somehow I have
walking
that.
Dead,
yeah.
But he's got a Patreon. Yeah.
Well, come on, we're all people. Like, where we are right now is, if the fucking world falls apart, we're just going to recreate it. Everybody creates towns and cities. We're all going to band together. But yeah, anyway, I'm in 10 years, I'm jacked. I'm 10. I'm fucking sick and ripped. I'm 10 times the size I am right now. My heart,
10 times.
My heart can't push the blood through my body. I probably got like some Bane juice going on. I fucking love it. I would never stop doing Bane juice if I could do Bane juice.
Right, I don't know what it is, but I love it.
I'd turn it on right now.
Hashtag Bane juice.
All right, yeah. There it is. That was the last question for the evening. Thank you so much for the wonderful questions. We appreciate it. All right, John, you know how outros are? Are you too drunk?
Never.
I love how this was like the
Olympics, and he just like hoisted me upon his shoulders, and I did a quintuple flippy poo, and Sam caught me. And then we got the silver.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
No, I can't do the outro.
Okay.
Thank you guys for coming out and making this a super special evening. Like John said, this is the biggest turnout we've ever had for a podcast thing. And this is like the fifth one we've done. So that's a huge thing. Round of applause for you guys yourself, right?
This is really fucking weird, guys. Okay, so listen. Every time we do this, afterwards, like, y'all go home and you go seepy seep in your Betty Buys, and then Scott and I stay up and I drink too much, and then we talk about it, and then we say, what a weird fucking world we live in, that the thing that we do is paint little men's on the internet. And y'all want to do it too. Yeah. It's fucking wild. So the most important thing, forget everything we said tonight, forget all the bullshit, but thank you. You are all awesome. You're great painters, and you're going to be better tomorrow.
All right. That's beautiful. All right, so we're going to... So John normally says at the end of every podcast, we'll catch you on the, and that's a flippity flop. But we want you guys to say that at the end, all right? You ready to do this?
No, they have to be ready, not me.
You got to fucking start the fucking outro, bro. You ready? Wiki, 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 wiki.
No, man, this is BC Boys. You have to do the next thing.
No.
Wait, what?
This is a reference I am missing right now. Okay, now it's a true episode of the podcast.
Don't you forget to
stop.
Nope.
Hey. Okay, I don't know
what... We will catch you on the flippity flop.